Hey there, Internet. My name is Jack Packard, official Maurice Pogue private detective fan account in person here for The Escapist.
And I'm Nick Langer, the editor-in-chief of The Escapist.
You're not, no joke, nothing?
Nope.
Wow.
I mean, I don't need a joke when you're here.
Hey! it's because I'm the joke. Oh, this week we're going to be talking about Souls Zelda-like and a Final Fantasy-like during the game talk. And then in the topics, it's all about bonus content, side content, extra missions, non-critical path parts of games. How important are they to the games if they're not the critical path? That's what we're talking about. It's going to be exciting. So hello and welcome. This is The Escapist Show.
Nice.
So I guess I'll go first. I've been playing a game called Blue Flame. Nope. That's not what it's called, Nick. It's called Blue Fire.
Blue Fire.
Blue Fire. Which is a game that came out earlier this year. I found it from a YouTuber who was looking at kind of Souls-like games, and it has a couple Dark Souls-ish elements to the game, but mainly it's actually a 3D platformer. It has some combat. It has the whole thing where if you die, you drop all your goodies, and then you can go and pick up all your goodies if you can make it to that section again. It's very difficult. But it's Dark Souls by way of Zelda, by way of Super Mario 64.
Okay.
Very adorable world, not necessarily combat focused, more 3D platforming focused. And I was all ready to just call this a really wonderful and adorable experience. You play as this little character with a little robot mask. You got adorable little swords. The world is very Mario-esque, very lush and wonderful and kind of cartoony and over-exaggerated. And overall, I was having a very good time playing it. And then just before we were recording this morning, I'll get in a little more time with it, see how I feel. And I hate it. So
you just hate it now. But did you not play it at all after the stream?
Like, yeah,
you only played it this morning?
No, I played it a couple hours after the stream. I found out. So we streamed it last week, and I got stuck in a part, and I wasn't sure where to go. And I figured out where to go, and so I played a couple more hours. And I'm having a great time. Got into a neat boss battle. Had to solve some puzzles. Had to do a couple very difficult platforming challenges. It was really fun, and I was feeling on top of the world, but then once again, I got stuck.
Uh-oh.
And I couldn't find where to go. So I looked up a little walkthrough, found the walk. Oh, okay, I got to go here. Mm-hmm. And then, how do I want to explain it? So one, there's no map. There's no map to the world, and there is a fair amount of backtracking. You need to go back to earlier areas to get item upgrades. You need to go back within the same area to find extra bonus treasures. It has some Metroidvania type elements to the game, where once you get an item that lets you do like a wall run, now you can go back and get all the bonus stuff for the wall runny stuff. But in order to get from point B back to point A, you need to go all the way through the level again, including all of the very difficult platforming challenges that were part of the level.
So they miss what makes Dark Souls good, is where you get through those difficult points and then you get your little shortcut to skip it and keep getting the progress forward. And I think we noticed that during the stream too, is like the level design of that game. One, it looked really samey and hard to read. And then you were talking about too the lamps that light your way, but it also that ends up becoming confusing because then, you know, most designers use light as a way to show you where to go, and this game is like, well, you've already been there, fuck off and good luck.
Right. And I'm still not sure whether those lamps lit because I was there or whether or not they were just lit. Yeah, it's bad at telling you where to go. It's very, very bad at telling you where to go. And I was really on the fence about that for a while because part of it was I like part of it was nice just to fuck around. Oh, I'll go over here. Maybe I haven't been over here yet. Oh, wait, I can't go over there yet. I don't have a key. Maybe I'll go over here. And so like part of it's really nice. But I ended on this one section that was an incredibly difficult platforming section up a tower. And it got to the point where it was so frustrating. And then every time you die, you go back to your last save point, which was in the world before this one. I didn't find a save point in this world. So then I got to get all the way through the world, all the way up this incredibly difficult platforming tower with enemies barreling down at you. Combat is not great, especially if the enemy is airborne. I'm done. I was having a really good time. And I'm done.
Yeah, there's games like that that just, they want to be difficult, but don't manage the difficulty with the frustration aspects of it.
Right. There's a balance. There's a balance that needs to be had here. Yeah. And this didn't get it. And then you add on to it the samey level design, the difficult to read terrain, and the overall frustrating where should I go next element. It just all started snowballing.
Right.
So, official recommendation is not worth it, but it was like, it was so close. Like, I wanted to like it. I really wanted to like it.
Yeah, I think, honestly, I think, like, all it needs is a better checkpoint system and then a more readable level design, and it would have been fine.
Would have been fine. You know what would work? A map.
Yeah, a map.
If you gave me a map so I know where I'm supposed to go or where I've been, fixed.
Yeah,
that's what I've been playing this week. Nick, what have you been playing this week?
So I finished Yakuza 4 last week, so I have finished 1, 2, 3, and 4 now, all within the span of like a month or so. I'm a little bit Yakuza'd out at the moment. I want to move on to 5, but then I heard it's like a 50-hour game. I'm like, ah. It's like, just the main story is 50 hours.
Oh,
and
Lordy.
Most of them I've been playing are like, I finished in about 12 to 15 hours. So I'm like, that is a huge jump and a huge time investment. I'm not ready for that right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's a summer. I got other things to do. So I've actually moved on to, I'm continuing my journey through Eastern game development and exploring series that I've kind of just passed up on for whatever reason. And Final Fantasy is on my list. And I've talked about picking up the Final Fantasy VII Remake a few times over the past few episodes, and I'm finally diving into it, and lo and behold, I am loving it.
Hey!
Like, I was hooked right away. For whatever reason, like, when you're watching, like, the previews or the reviews and all that, it's one of those games where, like, you look at the combat, and you can't really get a good feel for, like, is this something I'm gonna like, because it's got the real-time action, you know, ARPG stuff,
yeah,
and then it's also got, like, the pause commands. So you can, you know, give a command to your character and then switch to another character and give them another command to do like certain abilities.
Uh-huh.
And usually I don't like that, but in Final Fantasy VII Remake, it actually flows really well. It doesn't it feels natural where I'm just like, okay, I'm ready to do my, you know, overhead attack. Let's do that. And then go back to just playing like I would any other, you know, ARPG with action combat. So it's that sold me on it really quick. Where I was like, okay, I understand the gameplay. I don't have to think too hard about it, because there's some games like that kind of off-put to me, mostly just because I don't want to put the time into it. But anyways, so the combat's really good, really liking it. And then the characters like hooked me right away too. And that's, you know, for like JRPGs, if the characters don't like, you don't connect with the characters right away, it's really hard to stick with those games.
Yes.
And I like all of Final Fantasy VII cast so far. I like that it's like a more personal story tied into a grandiose adventure and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it's, you know, just an absolutely gorgeous looking game. So I'm actually excited that I'm enjoying it so much, because I do want to try Final Fantasy 15 at some point, even though I know like it's not everybody's favorite in the series. I also had no idea that like every single game is standalone unless it's got like a -2 on it.
Right.
So none of the Final Fantasy games are interconnected, which was another reason I never started, because it's like, well, do I have to know everything that happened before? Oh, no, you don't. Cool. I can just start wherever I want.
Unless you're playing 10 and 10-2, which, by the way, you should. They're fantastic games. 10-2, one of my favorite Final Fantasy games, has a outfit swapping mechanic. Instead of swapping out characters, your characters change outfits and get different abilities. You know why?
Yeah.
Because it's great. Because
skin.
And because it's super sexist, because it's all three girls are the only playable characters.
There you go.
And but, girls like dress up.
I've, so really enjoying Remake, the story. I already went through, like, there's 18 chapters in the game, and I already got through six of them my first day of playing it.
Wow.
And then I'm really looking forward to, the reason I finally wanted to play 7 Remake is because the trailer for 16 really interested me. Mm-hmm. Like the medieval fantasy look that they're going for with that one with the real-time combat. So if they're pulling everything from this into that, I'm sure I'm going to enjoy that game too. My only critique, and I brought it up in our breakout podcast, which is now launched with Marty, Casey, and I. My main critique was, like, and it's a lot of Japanese games do this, it seems, where the music is constantly playing through dialogue, like just the background music that you have. So one of the things I was laughing at was, like, you know, there's a scene where, like, one of the characters hurts her leg, and there's, like, this really cheerful music going on in the background. It just doesn't fit the scene. And it happens a lot. Like, they'll be talking about, like, one of the characters, like, Tifa's dad, or not Tifa's, Jesse's dad, he's, like, in a coma or whatever from the Mako gas. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, really cheerful music talking about it. I was like, this doesn't fit. It's bothering me.
But, Nick, the God Eater is now descending upon us. The blue fires of hell ravage through our world, and we're all going to die in piles of stinky corpses.
And then, you know, Omar needs to play, like, really bright, cheerful music behind that.
That's the joke.
I knew where you're going with that.
Yeah, all right, great.
it's been really fun, you know, over the last year and a half now, just really getting out of my comfort zone with games and checking things out. Like, I've always played a lot of different games. I just never really got into the Japanese side of things. So,
And
I don't really have an excuse for it other than, like, I didn't like think a lot of those games would just fit my style of gameplay.
Sure.
Cause I'm not huge in I wasn't huge in a turn-based combat and, just a lot of their, I guess art styles and all that really weren't appealing to me.
Little anime-ish. A little bit.
Yeah. But I mean, like, Yakuza and Final Fantasy VII Remake have hit that, like, really sweet spot where, like, I'm into this. I love it. Mm-hmm. And of course I'm playing a little bit of Genshin Impact on the side, and I mean, that's Chinese, but I had to finally mute the character voiceover in that because I just cannot stand Paimon. The little fairy angel thing that tracks with you. It's got, like, the really anime screechy voice.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, can't do it.
It's okay. You don't have to. You don't have to do it. You can mute it. That's an option.
Yeah. So, and then, of course, you know, chat in the streams is waiting for me to start Persona 5. That's going to be the tough one for me. Like, you guys were talking in your stream yesterday for something else. Like, there's some of those games that you're just like, you know, Persona 5 with the schoolgirl anime stuff. And
it's okay. Like, you don't have to. Obviously, like, if they give an aesthetic to a game that's not your thing, it's going to be that much more difficult for you to get into that thing. And, yeah, for all of the lovely things I've heard about the Persona series, I just don't think it'll be my thing.
I'm going to give it a shot. I never know. Like,
who dang.
I got to follow the quote behind me. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So, whatever.
Yeah.
I'll give it a go.
You take 100% of the misses that you never shot.
Hmm?
Think about that.
I don't really want to.
That you just take a moment and think about them.
Do I need to use the chief editor of Escapist, though, again? It's hurt you.
All right, on to the topics.
Kate moved on from that real quick.
I didn't know what I was doing. So I just talk, and hopefully Omar makes it sound better later. That's all I do is just keep talking. So, Nick, you said you've been playing Yakuza, so I can only assume that you're enjoying 100% of the game, not just the main story, but also all of the unique and interesting side quests.
Too much. Too much. Yeah. That's been an interesting experience for the Yakuza games, because I've gotten some comments about, you know, I mean, literally with those games, I am literally only going through the main stories on them and maybe dabbling in some side content. It was actually interesting. So, like, I think Kiwami 2, which is, like, one of the more modern games because it's a remake, did a good job of, like, just kind of force-feeding you the side content. So, like, I think I talked about in another episode of the Escapist show where, like, a lot of the times the side content would literally just come running up to you and, like, let's go do this real quick, and then you can get back on your main quest. And I didn't mind that because I didn't have to... It didn't feel like a chore. Like, I wasn't going on my way. Like, this thing just organically happened, and I'm going off and doing it. The rest of the games are just filled with lots of extra side content. Like, you can stop and talk to so many different people on the streets, and, you know, it's usually a little funny story beat, and then you fight somebody or go do, like, a little goofy mini game or karaoke or dancing, and there's a lot of, like, really fun little things if you're into that. But for me, like, I'm just trying to get to the main story. I don't really feel the need to go do that stuff, and that's kind of how I treat a lot of games these days. And unless it's like, I know, like, some people in the chats will bring up Disco Elysium that I'm, like, missing out on a bunch of stuff. So, like, there's this, like, push and pull of, like, do I need to go explore all the side content, or is it really worth my time? So, like, for me, like, a game like The Witcher 3, where you, like, some of the best content was in its side quests with the good storylines, or Disco Elysium, where, like, your investigation can be tied to that side stuff. Like, you go do the side things that actually help your main plot. And then there's other games like Yakuza, or, you know, maybe the Assassin's Creed games, or even Ghost of Tsushima, if you want to, like, bring up an example that you like, where a lot of that stuff has nothing to do with driving the critical thing forward. It's just kind of extra. And that I've never been enticed to really go do that stuff unless it's story related, or it's like telling its own self-contained story that's going to actually interest me more than, you know, go fetch my mailbag and come back.
Like, yeah, Ghost of Tsushima for me, like, I just wanted to play the game more, right? And like, to me, that's a perfect example of why side content is in there. It's like, hey, if you just want to be in this world more, we got shit for you to do. And if you don't, you just want to get through the story, you do that. Like, that's why it's called side content or bonus content or a side quest, right? You know, like I think with something like Tsushima, however we want to pronounce that, I think they did a really good job of tying all of the side quests back into the main storyline. You know, you get upgrades, you get new outfits, you get new sword techniques, all sorts of things that help you. So it feeds the cycle. I know one of my very favorite side quest to main quests revelation was in Horizon Zero Dawn, where if you did all of the side quests before the big boss battle, all those people who you helped would come and fight with you. And I wasn't expecting that. And so, like, to me, that was a big surprise. Like, oh, I got rewarded. I got rewarded for doing all this bonus content. So that was really nice. But also, you know, there's a million things to do in games, and sometimes you just don't care.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, for me, like, collectibles, upgrades, you know, sometimes the upgrades are worth it. Sometimes the games like really make it essential, but a lot of the times I just feel like this is extra padding to keep me here longer. So that's why I like how Disco Elysium is like, I don't even know if something's like a side story, because it's all just tied to the main investigation, and that keeps me engaged. When it becomes like a checklist of shit, then I don't want to do it. I just look at that and my mind goes, no, it's a lot.
Right. Well, because, like, to me, and this is how I feel about games in general, as I don't finish many games because they don't hold my attention, which is, if I'm not enjoying myself, I'm done. Like, that's it. That's rule number one for me. If I'm not having a good time, I cut it off. And if that means I'm not having a good time with side quests, guess what? They get cut off. And that's perfectly fine.
Do you ever feel like, though, like, you know, with all that side content in there, that you're, like, you're missing out? by not engaging with it? Like, I feel like a game for like The Witcher 3, I would have felt like I missed out on some of the stuff because like some of the best content is in those those side quests for like the Bloody Baron and then hunting down some of the legendary creatures in the world and all that.
Yeah.
But the game does a good job of like feeding that to you where like, this is pretty important. You might want to go do this, or, you know, making it, I don't know, like you see the dragon off in the distance and you're like, I want to go do that, you know, kind of thing.
That's the thing though. Like, I think, you know, you can look at Witcher 3. You can look at something like Breath of the Wild. You can look at something like Dark Souls 3, which I've recently played a whole bunch of, that has an entire like three levels that you don't have to do that are just there. Like, maybe do them, right?
Yeah.
Those three games do an amazing job of making the player want to play more. And that's like the real key. It's like you said, it's not just, oh, you can collect 20 barrels of goat milk.
Yeah.
And if you do, you'll get another arrow to put in your arrow bin. Like, I don't care about that.
Yeah, but the side content, I was going to say, like, I really love is where just Breath of the Wild does an amazing job of that, of like just you organically happen upon it in the world. Skyrim does a really good job of that too.
Yes.
It's like, oh, I just found a new dungeon, I'm gonna go do this now. no checklist aside, do it. Like, you explore and you figure it out as you go. And like Breath of the Wild, you know, when you get to the plains for the first time, and I think you had like northeast maybe, like you see like the dragon flying in the sky and you have no idea what the hell it is or what to do with it, and then you get zapped by it, like, well, fuck. You know, I gotta come back to that. But like Valhalla, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, which I loved being in that world, but then you go around the map and all the people have little icons above their head and you're like, well, that's another thing I don't want to do right now. But even that game though, like, still did a good job of like organically introducing some of it. So like, I think I told you about like the quest where I was riding my horse down and this woman was in her house trying to woo me and kicked out a guy. You know, she's just calling from the top trying to bring you in, and then you get scammed and you know, stuff like that's funny. GTA does a really good job of that. Mm-hmm. But even then, like, I still don't really, it's fun little things that happen in the world, and I don't really feel like I'm missing out if I don't see it.
I think a prime example, like, you know, if the question is like, are you missing out? The answer is yes, you're missing out on content. Does it matter? I'm gonna say no. Mm-hmm. So like, on my first full playthrough of Dark Souls 3, and Dark Souls 3 players will know this, like, the entire like dragon area didn't do. Like, I didn't do it, you know, where you go down and you have to fight the dragon and then you go like to the dragon world and you do all that stuff. I didn't even do it. And I still had an amazing time. Later, I went back and made sure I did it because I, you know, found out about it. I feel like I missed out? No, because the complete game is still there. That's bonus. That's extra frosting for your cake.
Yeah. That's I felt that too in like Dark Souls, where like, you know, the chat was telling me like, oh, you're missing out on these side bosses and all that. It's like, well, I want to complete the main game first and then go back and do it, but then I also never go back and actually do it. So.
Right, but that's up to you. And I guess to me it's like, this is the same. It's the same mentality where if someone says, oh, you will like this game, but first you have to put 20 hours into it. And it's like, No. And if someone says like, oh, like in order to get the full experience, you need to do everything in the game, that's a big load of horse shit. You should be having fun in the moment to moment. You should be having fun in the secondary loop. You should be having fun in the tertiary, right? Like, these are all the... you should be having fun at all times in the game. If you need to wait until you get to loop number 15 and you're at level 33 or whatever, then the game is a little jank.
Yeah, just like, as fun as it is to like do some of the side stuff, like, I just really like when there's actually like story tied to it. Because like, that's what I meant, like the Bloody Baron did a really good job of that. There was another quest in The Witcher. We actually did an analysis of that quest over on OnlySP when we were doing stuff like that. I can't remember the second one was, but like when there's like self-contained stories to go do that aren't just, again, like I said, like very basic, like, oh, my husband was run over by a train. Go save him. Well, sorry, ma'am. I found him. He's dead.
No. I remember, yeah, like, for a slightly Civil War, Yahtzee and I were talking about side quests. And, it, mm-hmm, like, one of my personal favorites from Witcher 3 is people are mad at you. You randomly run into a town and people start like yelling at you because you're a Witcher, and they're like, Witchers are nothing but, you know, they're ripping us off. We had a Witcher here the other day. He was garbage. And you find this guy who's like pretending to be a Witcher.
Yeah,
and it's like,
right.
that's such a fun little moment that you stumble across.
I don't even know if that's side content, though, if it's just organically, you know, happening upon those things in the world is like part of the main experience. So I think the differentiate, like the separation is like, you know, quests that are like there just to gain XP or move things forward, compared to organic events that just, you know, just create things as you go.
I guess what I'm imagining a Witcher 3 that contained absolutely nothing but the main story, right? You meet up with Yennefer, you got to find Ciri, and then that's it. And I still think like that would have been a fantastic story.
Right.
I still think that would have been good fun. Though now I'm going to swing to the other side. If you remember, there was a side quest in Witcher 3. I don't know if you did it. It was kind of the button of the you and Yennefer relationship.
Yeah.
And I don't believe that is part of the main storyline. I do believe that is a side quest, if I'm remembering correctly. Because it's just, she just says, oh, come here. I need help with this one thing, you know, whenever you're ready.
And I think that's part of the main. You're talking like they're on the snowy peak. And
they're on the snowy peak and they have to break the curse of the djinn. Is that part of the main quest, though?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, hold on.
Maybe it's not. Maybe they just did a really good job of masking it.
Right? The last witch. Wish. The last witch.
Either way.
The last witch is a secondary quest in Witcher 3 Wild Hunt.
Huh.
Boom.
Well, isn't it tied to who you choose to be with, though?
But that's so all like, secondary. Well, that's not the, well, that's, yeah, not, right, the main,
but it's
plot.
It's a main plot, like side. Well, you know, side quest, side threat. Don't you get different story plots whether you choose Yennefer or Triss?
Or Triss.
Like,
yeah,
I think it branches off.
Let's see here.
So you either get that piece with Yennefer or you get the other scene with Triss.
Possibly. But it doesn't matter. Yeah. Side quest. That's the important part. You don't need to finish this quest to finish the mission. But I think that like this one in particular, The Last Wish, is a fantastic example of like, I would feel like people would be missing out because like that like delves into Geralt and Yennefer's wildly weird relationship. And like, it's a beautiful story moment. It's absolutely gorgeous. I mean, I chose Yennefer because like, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. When you're choosing waifus in Witcher 3, you want a partner, not someone to babysit. Am I right?
So brunettes are better anyway.
But the, you know, the point is, I would feel like someone would be missing out on that content because it's a really beautiful story moment. Is it necessary for the main story? No, but so that's me like wavering to the other side, where it's like, if someone didn't finish that quest and finish the game, it's like, come on.
That's where I get like all stuck in my head because I'm like, oh man, like, do I need to go do that side quest or miss something really important? And then you go on Twitter and like, did you play that? I was like, no.
No. No.
The one game that like I probably need to go back to and at least experience some of the side stuff was like Red Dead Redemption 2, because I finished the main story and then I put it down and never touched it again.
Red Dead, well, there's just two. No, first of all, Red Dead Redemption 2 has too many side quests. Has too many quests in general.
Yeah, I feel like I missed a bunch of great little storylines in that game, though, not doing some of the side stuff. Mm. Like, this when it comes down to like Yakuza or whatever, you know, mini games and all that kind of stuff, like, yeah, it's quirky and fun, but
yeah,
I'm not, you know, it's not something for me to get invested in. When you have like the organic moments, like in Breath of the Wild or Witcher or whatever, like that stuff I get more invested in. And
right,
if I don't see it, yeah, I miss out. I'm also not somebody that's going to go back and replay a huge open world game because I never have the time to do it. So I'm like, well, you know, don't know what you missed if you never see it anyway. So,
well, you know, to me, like side quests are all about what you get out of it, right?
Yep.
And so, like with Witcher 3, like we were just talking about, you get story. Ooh, baby, you get story. With Breath of the Wild, you get, you know, health or stamina upgrades or whatever for side quests. You get new items. You get something. You get more worlds, which is part of the
world building and new locations and right? secrets in those locations and all that.
That's part of the beauty of Breath of the Wild. But like I remember when I was playing A Link Between Worlds. And you had to capture all those little like prawns and give them back to the octopus mommy. And then the octopus mommy would like upgrade your weapons for you. And at first I was all about this, like, oh yeah, I'll get really powerful weapons. But you hit a point where you upgrade all the weapons that you use for the most part. And you don't really need to upgrade the rest of your weapons. And you just go, I guess I don't care. Like, I guess I just don't care.
That was
about
me Link's Awakening.
Right. Why care? And so, if you're going to put a bunch of side shit in your game developers, make it worth our while. Make it worth our time.
Yep. Nice, cool new location to explore, bosses. Mm-hmm. Like you start tying to like XP or item grabbing. Ugh. I fall off that real.
Yeah.
I fall off that real quick.
Real. Oh, especially XP. Which is like, I do that. I get XP anyway. Fuck you. Give me extra XP. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like part of the reason too. Like I just started playing a lot of games like Yakuza on easy for the most part. Mm-hmm. It's like, I need to get through the main story. I don't want to grind for extra XP. Like if you force me into going to do that stuff, then I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Just like chores back at home. I want to come home from school. You tell me to take our three cycles. I don't want to do it.
Right. Make it worth our while. That's
go vacuum the stairs and also use the smaller vacuum to get the crevices in between them. No, I said I'd vacuum the stairs. I'm not doing the side quest of getting the crevices.
But what if I give you know? What if I give you a bonus on your allowance? Get you a little extra money. Oh, now it's getting a little more worth my time.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the thing. Side quests, they're side quests for a reason. We all know that. You don't got to do them. There are some though where I do feel that you would be missing out. Like for example, if you're playing Dark Souls 3, you don't have to fight tree balls. If you go through Dark Souls 3 and don't fight tree balls, I'm going to think that you missed out because that's a fun weird fight where you cut off a tree's testicles. Like come on.
anything where Jack can cut off some balls, he's in.
Anything in testicles, I'm hanging around. Because that's what they... Boom, get out of here. Oh, they came back and hit me. Mime work on point today. Any final thoughts or are we wrapping up?
No, I think I'm good to wrap up. But,
okay.
I was going to bring up the leak about Assassin's Creed Infinity.
Forever Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, I mean, Marty's gonna do a video on it, so I don't think we need to delve into it here because we'll just all this overlap.
We can button up with how wrong we were about the Switch Pro. Good.
I still think there's a new Switch coming. Probably late 2022. I don't know. I just can't see them launching Breath of the Wild 2 without upgraded hardware, like the Breath of the Wild, Link's Awakening. Pokemon all don't run well on those consoles already.
Doesn't Nintendo's gonna Nintendo. I mean, it's really great that new Switch buyers will get an OLED screen. I mean, I guess my Vita had an OLED screen.
Yeah. Welcome already. To 2021, Nintendo. Sorry, when did the Vita come out? 2009?
Hi. What are you telling me?
It's time to record.
It's time to be done. It's time to be done. Cookie's telling me it's time to be done. That was the cookie timer. Is it time to be done?
It's time to be done.
Oh, it's time to be done. Oh, Cookie says it's time to be done, right? There you go. All right. Well, that was it. That was our conversation about side quests in video games and how they're... Excuse you? What is it? You need me to collect 10 bales of hay for your farm? And then you'll give me the arrow of light. Oh, okay. New side quest coming up.
10 barrels of hay, you mean 10 barrels of shit.
Oh, is that what you need to do? We'll see. In any case, that was the show. My name is Jack Packard. I am a semi-professional video game enjoyer here for The Escapist.
And I'm Nick Langer, the editor-in-chief of The Escapist, and you can now find our brand new podcast called Breakout, which is a free-form podcast with Marty, KC, and I, where we discuss everything from video games, movies, books, TV shows, and even craft beer taste testers. So that's going to be fun. You can find it on Spotify, Anchor, all the podcast platforms with episode 0 and 1 available now. Go listen to it. And premium members get a video-only version exclusively.
Ooh, that's right. So enjoy. Also, now's a great time to be a premium subscriber for The Escapist because we're about to unleash for premium subscribers only our pilot episode, our tester episode of our new Dungeons & Dragons series, where I'm going to DM some Dungeons & Dragons for KC, Jesse, Amy, and Yahtzee, all those rapscallions. They're going to get into some shenanigans.
And as somebody that's not big into D&D, it was pretty funny. Like, I was laughing quite frequently throughout that. So I think
we're a silly bunch.
If you like The Escapist people, you'll like that.
Absolutely. Shazbotten, goodbye.
You like glitched during those. I just heard Shaz buzz by. Oh, now you're completely frozen.
Am I though? Or am I
just acting? Oh, what the fuck? You were so still. That's creepy.
Right?
What a great bit to end on.